John. One John. Oh, this is last week's sermon. Okay. One John, we're going to read chapter 2, and we're going to skip a little bit. And that's why I didn't ask anybody to read, because I'm going to skip around a little bit. 1 John chapter 2. Now, 1 John is really good. It's short. It's a short book. It's only like 5 chapters. But boy, that's power-packed. In 1 John, there's a lot of we knows in it. And you can go through and you can circle them, and you can tell me why and how many we knows or I knows are in there, okay? This is stuff we're supposed to know as believers in Christ. We're going to start at chapter 2, verse 1. You ready? And I'll tell you from there where we're going to go, all right? My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. How many are grateful for that? Amen. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I don't like that word atoning in there. NIV put that in there because he's not an atonement. Atonement just covers. He removes, okay? So just as a little side note. We know, there's one. Circle that one, Wyatt, that way you don't have to hunt so much, all right? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Okay, how many people this week broke Jesus' commands? Okay, you see how many people, do that again. How many people who broke Jesus' commands? Everyone who has their hands up is a complete liar. Oh, yeah, you're a liar. You liar. Put your hand down. You're a liar. You're a liar. I'm going to show you. This is an encouraging note. It says here, if we obey his commands, then we know that we know him. Do you know him? Well, are you sure? Okay, so his command must be something other than sinful behavior. You get that? Now, how many people here sinned this week? Okay, you scared to put your hand up? Yeah. Okay. Todd didn't sin, but he thought about it. You know, here's the thing. Aren't you glad, and I'm teaching you something here, because you're at advanced level, you're college level, you guys are learning, you're smart. I've told you over and over, I put you up against any church anywhere in the country, in the world. But look, it ain't about sin, all right? Jesus did something bigger than that in you. He removed that from me, okay? Amen. Thank you, because Dickie's the biggest sinner in this room. All right. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what the commands say, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I just proved that you're a liar. Okay. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. I have marked this up so much I can't hardly read it. Okay, I'm sorry. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. How many here walk like Jesus did this week? Scared to put your hand up again? I'm going to say yes. Same to you. Were you aware when you were screwing up? Was God there? Were you feeling sorrowful for it? Were you repentant over it? Were you still trying to reach him? Was he always in the forefront of your mind? Yeah, there you go. Dear friends, I am not writing a new command to you, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you heard. Yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Okay, move over to verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Now there you got a problem. Because there's some things in the world that I really, really like. God doesn't want me liking that, loving that, looking after that. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I love some things in the world. But do I love the world?
No.
I hate the world. And sometimes my biggest struggle is to say, man, I got to keep living in the world even though I don't love it. But it's a constant fight, isn't it? We have to continue to pursue to represent him. Okay? For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has done, we just described James, comes not from the Father, but from what? The world. It's not even your fault. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Are you doing the will of God? Well, I think you are. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if had they belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but they're going to show that none of them belong to us. I always assign that to people who leave the church because I don't like the preacher there. Okay, see ya. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing, and if you want to, and you have a pen there, that anointing word, unction. Write that down. Unction. What's an unction? A feeling, a call. You just know that you know that you know. You have an unction from the Holy One, and all of your, what's that word? All of you know the truth. I'm going to hear know the truth. We know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Such a man is an antichrist, and he denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As far as you, for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Remain in Christ. Stay with him. Walk in step with him. Don't walk away. If you do have a tendency to walk away, run back. I explained this to the men yesterday at men's breakfast. When you're walking, you're actually really close to falling down, aren't you? Because as soon as you take a step, and you go like this, you are throwing yourself off balance, aren't you? Until your other foot catches up. And then you do it again, and you're almost falling again. So to make progress, is this right, Mike? To trust Mike, he has to watch because of this knee. You know, things aren't the way they used to be. You are closest to Jesus when you're walking with him, but you're also close to a fall. So if you see a fall or a failure, that's not really a bad thing. It's more like, yeah, I'm there. I recognize it. I see it, and I know. That make sense? All right. Kids, you can get out of here. May the Lord add a blessing to the word. Accept that or not is difficult. Because sometimes in saying things, I sometimes say them in the best way. We'll move on. Okay. I get that. It's like my wife went yesterday. My daughter called, Calla, she called, she was crying, she was upset, very pregnant. She's due in June. She just was dumping on Katie. I feel so fat and so ugly. I said, tell her she's fat already. Just tell her she's fat. She's fat, it's a fact, she's fat. It'll go away. There's the good news. It'll go away. She'll be a babe again. Doesn't work, but you know. So my wife's heartstrings were tugged, and she took off to go babysit while Calla and Charles took some time off in the afternoon. Much needed. Now, my wife is exhausted. She's tired. She's with kids every day, all this. That's what she's there now. Sometimes it's like I want to say, look, no. You got to stop. Your mom needs a rest. But she gets up there,
And Case, the youngest, you know, he's almost two, right?
He is two.
Thank you. I don't know how old they are. He's about this tall. Now, all my kids were potty trained when they were 1 year old. By the 13th month, they were potty trained. You know, Calla did that with Coach. But Case, for some reason, is having a tough time. She's having a tough time. And they're working hard, really, to potty train and all that. And so, you know, my wife has said, well, you know, you don't want to boss your kids. It's like, look, I understand this problem. You can do it. You can handle it. So when she's gone, Case has an accident. She has a little problem. So my wife's sitting there talking. Long and short, don't tell Calla this. When she comes back, it gets mentioned. And my wife says, how do you handle it? What are you trying to teach him? Well, we spank him. We give him timeouts. We do all that. And my wife went, it doesn't work. Encouragement, positive. You can do this. You're a big boy now. So what I'm going to say to you is just, you are big people. Your sphincter just tightened, didn't it? What? What's he going to say now? Yeah. Todd's going, what's a sphincter? Okay. Look. Your Bible. I'm reading this morning and I'm like, man, this is tough. I actually had two Bibles this morning. I grabbed this one, which is King James, because the other one doesn't have it all on the same page. But as I'm reading, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, I write no new commandment unto you, is what the King James says. I'm not writing a new commandment to you. Then in verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. I had to go back and look at that three times. Is this a typo? He said in verse 7, I'm not writing you a new command. And then in verse 8, he says, I'm writing you a new command. Paul, is he schizophrenic? What's going on? Is it or isn't it? Well, we can find the meat of this thing, because when I see something like this, I'm intrigued, and the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit says, dive in there. Go in there. Dive in, dig in, and see what it says. It says, I don't write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. In other words, I'm not telling you something brand new. I'm telling you the old commandment, but I'm going to give you a new commandment on top of the old commandment, because what you're missing is that the old commandment said you had to do this and not do that. You get that? It was a list of rules and regulations. Don't pee your pants. If you pee your pants again, I'm going to beat you. That's how I was raised. You get beaten a lot, do you there, buddy? When you get to heaven and you can't find my dear friend back there and I together, we're off. We're sneaking off. Dickie and I are going to go flying or doing something for a while. So you'll just know that, okay? He'll be leading, I'm sure. But look, it's tough to try to balance do this, don't do that with, let me encourage you. It's easy to say, don't do this. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then Jesus screws it all up by turning around and saying, oh, by the way, if you think about it, you've done it. God, thank you very much, Jesus. You just killed us all. Which he says, that's the point. You're all walking dead people. Because the law was given, follow this, Wyatt, real close. The whole Old Testament, the whole law was given to show us, to prove us, in fact, we can't keep it. Remember when you were a kid and your mom put a cookie on the table and said, don't eat that cookie till after dinner, and she walked out the room? Come on, man. You knew what you were going to do. Where'd that cookie go? It wasn't me. Isn't that true? Speed limit, 55. James goes, bah! We'll cut the same cloth.
Because I'm trying to catch up to you.
Trying to catch up to me, yeah, exactly. I did that today. I come down here, and you know the light had already gone for the green to turn left off here on Laurel Road. It had already gone, and then the yellow came. Naturally, I got both yellows. The one comes on, then this one yellow, and it's sitting there red. And then they go green, and then they go green. And my light never changed. It stayed red. I went, oh no. I just went ahead. The guy behind me followed me. I guess he knows what he's doing, right? Look, I can't help it that the people who are regulating the lights in Sarasota County are idiots. But it's all right. I moved on. Because some things I'm smarter, you know? Look, you can't keep the commandments. It's not possible. But he says, I'm going to start off by telling you something you already know. The Old Testament covenant that you were trained in. These rules still apply, and yes, they do today. Does God want you not committing adultery? Sure. Do we still do it anyway? Sure. Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, good. Then you're a murderer, and you're a liar. Look, it's in our head, it's in our heart, it's written there. But God comes along and Paul says, I'm going to give you a new commandment to clarify the old commandment. You know what that is? The commandment is to what? Oh, good, we're going to learn something today. What's the commandment?
Love.
You see, if you love, you won't do it. If you serve and love your wife, she's going to serve and love you back. And yeah, men, I've told you this 1,000 times. You get the joy of having to go first. If your marriage ain't that good and your wife's a grump, it's your fault. Treat her special.
Thank God I'm not married, Frankie. I love it. Nikki, truer words are never spoken, brother. Thank God I'm not married. Hallelujah. Thanks for that, Dickie. I love you, man. I'm glad you're going to be around for a while. D'Anthony, you're going to love hanging out, man. I'm telling you, seriously. Love. 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 Look, I'm going to tell you, I didn't want to be back there yesterday. I was sore. I was tired. I was grumpy. I was grouchy. And I was counting all the faces that weren't there.
James has been there many times.
Yeah, so I have an excuse. What's yours? It's just one thing piles on another, on another, on another, on another. You know, you run into the person who never admits that they're wrong, and anything that you point out, no matter how gently you say it, they turn around and they dump back on, yeah, but you, just like he just said, yeah, but you. Women are good at that. Wives are really good at that. Now look, you're a liar. Okay, all right, well, maybe not. There may be an exception, but generally that's how that goes. Men are stupid, women just keep on piling it on. You know, I understand that. It's okay, just accept it. But look, it's how we're made. We make mistakes. We fail. We falter. We hurt. We have things happen to us that we don't like. I have to do things that I don't want to do, that I don't like doing. I jumped on Galen this week, and I'm telling y'all this because I already told him I was going to tell y'all. I ratted him out yesterday at men's breakfast, and I'm ratting him out now. Look, there's some things you need to be doing. He's not doing them. Well, guess what? This merry-go-round will keep going around and around and around until you get it. How many here understand that principle? Mike came to me this morning, he gave me this sermon. He gave me my sermon, right back to me. He gave me my sermon. He starts off with saying, how do you do the things you know you're supposed to do but you don't want to do? Paul said that in Romans 7. The thing I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, the things I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Isn't it a constant, huh? I told the guys yesterday, they got my blood work done. I got my blood work done, and they said, oh, by the way, your PSA is out of line. It's up. You need to go for an MRI. That's what killed my dad. So I'm going, could this be the beginning of the end? Stay tuned. You know how simple that is, because I go like, I'd love to just check out, because Wyatt, I hate this world. Good, I got my chance. And after I got done talking to Galen and beating the snot out of him, I'm on my way home. And God says, let's talk. And he started pointing to me all those things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. Where I'm not paying attention. Where I'm feeling sorry for myself. Where I'm going to get a little bit of, yum and fun for me because I hate this world and I'm going to find a little bit of enjoyment anyway. I deserve it, don't I? Right? But Paul says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love, love, love. It says it in 15. I drew a note from verse 8. And then I went down to verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light. See, there's that love word. And then from verse 10, I went up to verse 15. Drew a line. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't love the world. You know the nice thing I can tell you about Christians who make mistakes, which we all are included? You know how you can tell somebody is genuinely a follower and lover of Jesus Christ? When they make a mistake, they know it. They admit it. Or if they don't admit it, they hate themselves for it. Isn't that true? How many ever decided to go out and do some kind of crazy sin that you know you shouldn't have been done, and then afterwards, man, that was so much fun. I'm so glad. I can't wait to do that again. Huh? It's not usually the way it is. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry. That's that unction of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, look, you're better than that. You're better than that. Stand up, get to work. Oh, by the way, here's a five. You see, he gives us those blessings as we go through life and we listen to him and we grow, and as we grow, we learn more. And yeah, sometimes we fall down, but he picks us up. It's okay. But just understand, because I say it doesn't mean I'm not doing it. Because there's times that I just decide I don't want to do it either. There's times I like fall down. But like that Bob Carlisle song says, we fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. I know what it's like to have to do something you don't want to do. There's nothing you can do. BJ, Ray Jr., Steph, they don't want to go through this. We who've been there and remember, I don't want to remember that. It's tough. Picking up the Bible sometimes is like, that's the last thing I want to do. But God says, seek me first and you'll get everything else. To turn around and push that off to the side and go doing anything else other than that means that we're not going to get the other good stuff. Because he said, you've got to put me first in order to get the good stuff. It's just the rule. So I fall on my knees, pick up the Bible, and I start to read. Last night, Katie said, what do you got? You got your sermon yet? Nope. Oh, boy. I said, I'll be fine. She goes, I know. I know. I've been doing this since I was 12. I taught my sons to do it. I've taught young men and women to do it. And there are times when you hit a wall and you just don't know what to say. But I'm smart enough to know over those years, and I did learn, get up earlier. Put your head into this and keep it there. I'll talk to you. This Bible was one my dad gave me a long, long time ago. And he wrote an inscription in it. And it said, I give this to you, my son, because you personify what the Bible is and what it says. I'm so proud of you. Now the only problem is, who do I give it when I die? That's a $5 bill. I have a lot to live up to. But so do you. And you're doing fine, by the way. You're doing okay. I'm proud of every one of you. Keep doing it. And if I jump on you, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's out of love. I care. Kid wants to play with a can of gasoline and a cigarette lighter. You don't let him. You don't kick him out of the house either. You know how it works. I was going on and on and on and on. Let's just stop there. Look, dive in. Pick up your Bible every morning. Spend a little time with Jesus. I guarantee if you spend 5 minutes, He's going to let you go several days, giving him 5 minutes where you're going to walk away with nothing. And he's just going to keep seeing if you want to show up. If you don't want to show up, really, if you really don't want to seek him, why should he bother? Just show up. And the next day, show up. Put your head in there, Lord, show me something. You start reading. I guarantee you, before long, he'll start talking to you. And you go, there he is. And then 5 minutes turn to 10, and 10 turns to 15, and then you're like me, you're going, I got to write the words of the day, I got to stop. I don't want to stop, I want to stay with him. Or like Jason, there's days, he said to me this week, I didn't want to go to work one day, I just wanted to stay home and read the Bible all day. Is that sick? I mean, you think that's a sick? No, I get it, and he gets it. But he's not going to let us do that because we have responsibilities, we have obligations, we have families, we have things that we have to do. Be a man. Be a woman. Do what you're supposed to do and make sure you put Jesus first and everything else happens. Because if you don't, there will be some talks. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you that you have come along and shown us. You didn't tell us. You showed us by your love on the cross that love gets it done. And sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I just don't love these people like I'm supposed to. And so I rely on you, Lord. And then you show me how to do that. Everyone in here is unique and special and absolute royalty. And I would put them against anybody in the world. Thank you for rising us up, making us strong, making us yours, and putting us into the world to try to change it more for you. And to you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.